allowed him back home, and what did he do but then steal the hearts of the people of Israel and tried to, or is attempting now to take over the kingdom from his father. Have a bit of a coup. And that's where we find ourselves here in 2 Samuel chapter 16. David has already had to flee with his family and those loyal to him for his life, literally. And that brings us to 16, verses 15 to 23, where Absalom now enters into Jerusalem as the new king, if you will. So 15 to 23, Mr. Scott, if you would.
And Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem. And Ahithophel with him. And it came to pass that Hushai, the Archite, David's friend, was come unto Absalom. And Hushai said unto Absalom, God save the king, God save the king. And Absalom said to Hushai, is this thy kindness to thy friend? Thy wentest thou not with thy friends? And Hushai said unto Absalom, nay, by whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel chose, his will I be, and with him will I abide. And again, whom should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son, as I have served in thy father's presence? So will I be in thy presence. Then said Absalom to Ahithophel, give counsel to among you, that we shall do. And Ahithophel said unto Absalom, go unto thy father's concubines, which he hath left to keep the house, and all Israel shall hear that thou art a fool of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house, and Absalom went in unto his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. And the counsel of Ahithophel, see, by which he counseled in those days, was if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom.
Well, thank you. So if you remember last week, Hushai, who at one point was one of David's counselors, the kings often would have counselors. David asked him, remember, to return and to essentially be a spy for David, to hear what was given, to try to undo Ahithophel's counsel when he could, and then report back to him when he was able. So that's Hushai. Ahithophel is now Absalom's counselor. He's defected to the other side, if you will. And his first counsel is for Absalom to go in unto David's concubines, making a statement, if you will. Now, we don't know how many wives and concubines David has at this point. We only know that he had 7 wives when he entered Jerusalem. And it says after he entered Jerusalem, he took more wives and concubines. So we don't know the total number, probably at least 20, which is sad. But we know that that was obviously one of David's weaknesses after what happened with Bathsheba. And so this was making a statement that Absalom is now the king. And it was a way of, if you will, insulting David, his father. So very sad. And now we're going to see in chapter 17 the battle between Hushai's counsel and Ahithophel's counsel, and see what that results in. But first, let's pray. So, Lord, give us wisdom as we continue studying the life of David. Lord, may we continue to learn from his life, from his responses to trials and attacks. Lord, just from the way that he honored you the best he could in all things that happened in his life. And, Lord, I pray that you'd guide us in your truth. Bless each teacher throughout the buildings as they teach your word to the young people. And meet with us now in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so here in chapter 17, Ahithophel, which is Absalom's main counselor, and now Hushai, who Absalom thinks is his other counselor, but he's actually still faithful to David, offer different counsels. We'll see what happens. So, Howard, that's your turn, verses 1 to 15 of chapter 17.
All right, choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night, and I will come upon him which he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee. And I will smite the king only, and I will bring back all the people unto thee. The men whom thou seekest is as if all returns, so all the people shall be in peace. And the saying pleased Absalom and all the elders of Israel. Then said Absalom, call now Hushai and Ahai also, and let us hear likewise what he saith. And when Hushai was come to Absalom, Absalom spake unto him, saying, Ahithophel have spoken after this manner, shall we do after his saying? If not, speak thou. And Hushai said unto Absalom, the counsel that Ahithophel gave hath given is not good at this time. For said Hushai, thou knowest thy father and his men, that they be mighty men, and they be chafed in their minds as a bear robbed of her whelps in the field. And thy father is a man of war, and will not lodge with the people. Behold, he has hid now in some pit or in some other place. And it shall come to pass, when some of them be overthrown at the first, that whosoever heareth it will say, there is a slaughter among the people that follow Absalom. And he also that is valiant, whose heart is as the heart of lion, shall utterly melt. For all who now know it, that thy father is a mighty man, and they which be with him are valiant men. Therefore I counsel that all Israel be generally gathered unto thee, for Dan even to Beersheba, as the sand that is by the sea for multitude, and that thou go to battle in thine own person. So shall we come upon him in some place where he shall be found, and we will light upon him as the dew falleth on the ground. And of him and of all men that are with him, there shall not be left so much as one. Moreover, if he be gotten into a city, then shall all Israel bring ropes to that city, and we shall draw it into the river, until there be not one small stone found there. And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai the Ahite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For the Lord hath appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel, to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom. Then said Hushai unto Zadok and the Abathar the priest, thus and thus did Ahithophel counsel Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus have I counseled.
So remember that Zadok and his sons had also agreed to help David. So it was his sons that were going to become the messengers back and forth of the counsel that was given and what Absalom's plans were. So Hushai here gives counsel that Absalom likes better. But it's selfish counsel in that he's trying to protect his king, isn't he? He's trying to protect David. Because if they had followed Ahithophel's advice, they might have overtaken David on the run. But this gives David time to pull his forces, get ready to fight. And also he also counseled that Absalom should go with the army. And if you know what happens, that means Absalom is going to die in the battle. And so Ahithophel's counsel is undone by the counsel of Hushai, who is faithful to David. And it gives David time to be warned by the sons of Zadok the priest, which happens in this next passage, 16 to 24. So, Brent, could you read those for us?
Now therefore, send quickly and tell David, saying, lodge not this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily pass over, lest the king be swallowed up and all the people that are with him. Now Jonathan and Ahimaaz stayed by King Regal, they might not be seen to come into the city. And a wench went and told them, and they went and told King David. Nevertheless, a lad saw them and told Absalom. But they went both of them away quickly and came to a man's house in Bahurim, which had a well in his court, whither they went down. And the woman took and spread a covering over the well's mouth and spread ground corn thereon, and the thing was not known. And when Absalom's servants came to the women to the house, they said, "Where is Ahimaaz and Jonathan?" And the woman said unto them, "They be gone over the brook of water." And when they had sought and could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, after they were departed, that they came up out of the well, and went and told King David, and said unto David, "Arise and pass quickly over the water, for thus hath Ahithophel counseled against you." And David arose, and all the people that were with him, and they passed over Jordan. By the morning light there lacked not one of them that was not gone over Jordan. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and rose, and gat him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order, and hanged himself, and died, and was buried in the sepulchre of his father.
So Ahithophel wasn't too happy about his counsel not being taken, was he? He committed suicide over it. Well, it was a big deal in those days when you were the king's counselor. And the king said, "Hushai's counsel is better than yours." So he went home, put his house in order, and hanged himself. That's a bit of a strange one, isn't it? But what we see here is that the messengers almost got caught because there were spies everywhere. And you never know who's loyal to who. But they didn't get caught, and they managed to make it to David to warn him. Basically, you need to get further away from Jerusalem. You need to find a good place to fight if you're going to have to fight. And that's exactly what they did, is they moved on. And so they will be pursued to Gilead. So thoughts or questions up to this point? David on the run from his own son. Yes, Tanya. Yep, he probably guessed that Absalom might die because David was a great man of war. He had some amazing soldiers with him, loyal to him, and there was no guarantee that Absalom was going to win whatever battle ensued. And that's, of course, what happens, isn't it? So David is pursued. Down in verse 25, Absalom made Amasa captain of the host instead of Joab, which Amasa was a man's son whose name was Ithra, an Israelite that went into Abigail, the daughter of Naasha, sister to Zariah, Joab's mother. And Israel and Absalom pitched in the land of Gilead. So they chase David now, but they have a huge army going after David. We're about to have a civil war. Keep in mind why they're having a civil war. Why are they having a civil war? Yep. Because of one man's sin. So never forget that when we do sin, yes, God will deal with that if we don't through chastisement, but it always affects those around us. And what we're going to find is because of David's sin, one man's sin, 20,000 people are going to die. Try to get your head around that number. 20,000 people die. Because of David's sin. Wow. But first, let's finish chapter 17, where David is given some provisions. So verses 27 to 29, Roy, if you could read that. So these kind folks brought provisions for David and those that were fleeing with David. And then that brings us to chapter 18, the big battle at Mount Ephraim, where, as I mentioned, all these people die because of the civil war. But remember, the civil war is because of David's sin. How sad. So, Ken, if you could do for us verses 1 to 8.
David numbered the people that were with him, and set captains of thousands and captains of over hundreds of over them. And David sent forth third part of the people under the hand of Joab, and a third part under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and a third part under the hand of Ittai the Gittite. And the king said unto the people, I will surely go forth with you myself also. But the people answered, Thou shalt not go forth, for if we flee away, they will not care for us. Neither if half of us die, they will care for us, or they care for us. But now thou art worth 10,000 of us. Therefore now it is better that thou suffer thus out of the city. And the king said unto them, What seemeth you, this I will do. And the king stood by at the gate side, and all the people came out by hundreds and by thousands. And the king commanded Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, Deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave all the captains charge concerning Absalom. And so the people went out into the field against Israel, and the battle was in the wood of Ephraim, where the people of Israel were slain before the servants of David, and there was great slaughter that day of 20,000 men. For the battle was there scattered over the face of all the country, and the wood devoured more people that day than the sword devoured.
So it is David's son. Still loves him. But this is a civil war, isn't it? This is Israel against Israel. Which we're obviously going to see that in the future, but this is really the first time it's been of this scale for Israel. They were just at their peak under David. Things were going so well. And then, of course, David sinned, and now look where they are. 20,000 Jews died in this civil war, because it's Absalom versus David. And their assessment was accurate, wasn't it? David said, I'll go fight with you. I'm a fighter. I'm a warrior as well. I mean, he's 70 years old, but he's still strong. But they were right. You're worth 10,000 of us. They want you. They don't want us. They want you. If they can kill you, then the threat is gone to the kingdom. And it's true. That's the way things were back then. So they said, you should not go into battle with us. And he said, I'll do what you think is best. So lots of questions up to this point. Next is the death of Absalom, sadly. So 9 to 18, Brandon.
Absalom, in his lifetime, had taken and reared up for himself a pillar, which is in the king's says, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. And he called the pillar up his own name, and it is called unto this day Absalom's place.
If you remember way back, Absalom had a lot of hair, didn't he? Matter of fact, the Bible even told us how much, when he cut it once a year, how much it weighed, and it was a lot. And that hair was part of his undoing, because all that hair, as he's riding his horse, got caught in a tree. And he got hung by his hair, essentially. But then Joab and his soldiers killed Absalom. So Absalom is dead. What's Israel to do? Those that are following Absalom, but flee. What is there to fight for now, right? David was their king. Absalom, what they thought was their new king, he's dead. So what now? Well, why are we fighting? And that's how it worked in those days. If the king's dead, well, who are we fighting for? So they fled. But don't forget, 20,000 people died. So now David is about to learn of his son's death. Here in 9 to 18, James. I meant 19. Oh, where are we? No, we just read that. No, 19 to 33.
Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings, how that the Lord hath avenged him on his enemies. And Joab said unto him, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt not bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. Then said Joab to Kishai, go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Kishai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Then said Ahimaaz the son of Zadok, hear again to Joab, but howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Kishai. And Joab said, wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready? But howsoever, said he, let me run. And he said unto him, run. And Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain, and overran Kishai. And David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gates unto the wall, and lifted up his eyes, and looked, and behold, a man running away. And the watchman cried, and told the king, and the king said, if he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came apace, and drew near. And the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called unto the porter, and said, behold, another man running alone. And the king said, he also bringeth tidings. And the watchman said, methinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, he is a good man, and cometh with good tidings. And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, all is well. And he fell down to the earth on his face before the king, and said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king. And the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? And Ahimaaz answered, and Joab sent the king's servant and me, thy servant. I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. And the king said unto him, turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, Kishai came, and Kishai said, tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Kishai, is the young man Absalom safe? And then Kishai answered, the enemies are my lord the king, and all that arise against thee to do thee hurt. Be as that young man is. And the king was much moved, and went up to the chamber over the gate, and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son.
So in Bible days, they didn't have cell phones, but they did have messengers. So these were people that could really run, and they could run long distances. This is pre-marathon days. So these were the marathon runners, and their job was to just run as fast as you could to get news back to whoever needed the news. And the news is that Absalom was dead. So thoughts or questions about David's initial reaction to the death of his son who tried to steal his kingdom? Anybody? Howard? Yep. And so what do you think the people's response is going to be to David's response? Remember, 20,000 people have died. These people have followed David. And they fought for David. And they won. But now David is crying about Absalom's death rather than being thankful that the people won the war. So thoughts about that? Anybody? So he's about to get a bit of a rebuke anyway from none other than Joab. But let's not forget, who was it that convinced David to let Absalom come back home? It was Joab, wasn't it? His general that basically used the woman, and she told this little parable and convinced David, yes, let Absalom come home. Yes, he killed his brother, but let him come home. And now it's Joab who's going to rebuke David for his response to this, to his death. So, Brad, 1 to 10, if you would.
And it was told Joab, behold, the king weepeth and mourneth for Absalom. And the victory that day was turned into plain to all the people. The people heard say that day how the king was grieved for his son. And the people get them by stealth that day into the city. His people being ashamed steal away when they fear the battle. But the king covered his face, and the king cried with a loud voice, O my son Absalom, O Absalom, my son, my son. And Joab came into the house of the king and said, Thou hast shamed this day the faces of all thy servants, which this day have saved thy life, and the lives of thy sons and of thy daughters, and the lives of thy wives and the lives of thy concubines. In that thou lovest thine enemies and hatest thy friends, for thou hast declared this day that thou regardest neither princes nor servants. For this day I perceive that if Absalom had lived, and all we had died this day, then it had pleased thee well. Now therefore arise, go forth, and speak comfortably unto thy servants. For I swear by the Lord, if thou go not forth, there will not tarry one with thee this night. And that will be worse unto thee than all the evil that befell thee from thy youth until now. And the king arose and sat in the gate. And they told unto all the people, saying, Behold, the king doth sit in the gate. And all the people came before the king. For Israel had fled every man to his tent. And the people were at strife throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, The king saved us out of the hand of our enemies. And he delivered us out of the hand of the Philistines. And now he is fled out of the land of Absalom. And Absalom, whom we anointed over us, is dead in battle. Now therefore, why speak to no word of bringing the king back?
So what about Joab's advice? Anybody? Do you think it was good advice? I do. I think that, yeah, he's right. All these people died. They fought this big battle. This was a huge battle. And David was basically implying exactly what Joab said. If Absalom had lived and 50,000 soldiers had died, David would have been, he implied that he would have been okay with that. Who cares about all these soldiers dying? And that's not what the people need to believe, is it? That he doesn't care about his people. So, how sad. But David took the advice, sat in the gate, and now he will be restored back to his home in Jerusalem. But no thoughts or questions up to this point? Kelvin, could you do us 11 to 15 then? So David returns to Jerusalem 20,000 Israelites have died in civil war. Let's not forget that, which is now the fourth part of his, well, the fifth part of his chastisement. First was the child dying, then Amnon raping Tamar, then Absalom killing Amnon, then Absalom stealing the hearts of Israel. And now 20,000 Israelites dying in civil war. So he's back in Jerusalem. What a journey, huh? So thoughts or questions? Keeps going back to David's decision to stay home rather than go fight with his army, and then to steal Bathsheba from her husband and then have her husband murdered. Thoughts or questions, anybody? Maybe about the consequences of sin and the impact on those around us? Anyone? Did you guys all sleep in this morning? It's quiet. But what do we see? All these people died because of David's sin. Let's never forget that. Remember, in the Old Testament, there was a man named Achan. And what did one man, remember, stole some gold and garments and hid it, right, when they went into Jericho? There was only one rule, basically, when they went into Jericho, and that was what? Don't take the spoil. Because God knocked the walls down so that they could take Jericho. So they went, they took Jericho. One man took the stuff, right? But anybody know what happened next when they went to take the city of Ai? Eventually. But first, the second city that they went to take, they lost the battle. And guess what? Thousands of people died. Because of one man's sin, thousands of Israelites died when they went to take the city of Ai. And then, of course, yes, Achan and his entire family died as well as punishment once he confessed what he had done. But never forget Ai, the city of Ai. All those people died in that battle because of one man. And now one man sins and these 20,000 soldiers die in a civil war. It's pretty heavy, isn't it? So no other thoughts or questions?